Hello and welcome everyone to Combox. I'm your host Chayan and I have Varun here with me and Ashwin from Cricket by JB. And today we'll be combining to make the all-time 12 for Chennai Super Kings, the joint most successful franchise in the Indian Premier League. And so we have one CSK fan here and another person who is Varun and another person who is completely denying all allegations of being a CSK fan. So what are your first thoughts, guys, on this team, on CSK in general?
Well, for starters,
yeah, it used to be a very good team before they started doing nonsense. Yes,
that is very true. Even when I was going through, or I was trying to make my playing 11 and then plus one, I had a very interesting. I first wanted to pick someone who would be out of the blue, but then I thought I'll do what I have to do, and then yeah, I think my thoughts on my playing 11 personally before we get into things, I think it's quite weird. I think statistically it might be up there, but just looking at the balance of the squad, I don't know how I feel about the squad, but yeah, those were my first thoughts.
What about you,
promising Warren? Signs? Yeah, I actually like the CSK team I made, assuming we have a similar concepts in mind. Yeah, I don't know why you're concerned about the balance. I feel like the balance is great.
Exactly.
Assuming you pick the right team.
About balance. Yeah, I'm not worried about the balance so much. I think the bigger issue is probably which players do we pick in certain roles. More than actually the balance. And it's a good team. Like, it's a mix of old and new, I would say. The fact that CSK have had different generations where they've been successful, plays a part in that. Mm-hmm.
They're also, like, regardless of which generation we go for, one generation will be very upset. Of the fans.
There's basically three generations, right? Like, the middle one, and the early one, and the later one, obviously. And there is overlap as well in all of those.
No, there's like two major fan groups, right? You have the fans that love them before the ban, essentially. And then you have the fans who love the dad's army CSK. So it depends on which one you like more.
That is very, very true,
Yeah, so I think... So today, Ashwin has the first pick and then it's myself and Varun goes third. So you can take it away, Ashwin. Go with your first pick.
All right, so my first pick was a bit of a... I was confused by it, but then I've settled on him. I think he... would have been my first pick regardless. Now, from now on, if I have to make a CSK all-time 11, he would be my first pick. He's the sixth highest run scorer as an opener for Chennai Super Kings, and that's Matthew Hayden. He is my first pick. I think he's done a lot of things right for me in terms of numbers to be part of the all-time playing 11 for CSK. Yeah, he is. I mean, I can get into the numbers, but let's stick to his name to begin with. But yes, he's my first pick.
I had
How
him
do you
too.
Feel about that? Yeah, I had him too, actually.
I had him
in the team. Although, like, I was looking at other options as well, the other opening options. Essentially, I wanted to go with one overseas opener. But I did not expect Matthew Hayden to be the first pick in an all-time CSK 11.
I was not expecting him to go first at all.
Yeah, are you going in the order of the batting lineup?
Yeah, I'm going in the order of the batting lineup. Let's just put that, straight. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Makes sense.
Then it's up to me to go with one of the two big guns from CSK. Actually, before that, we can talk about Hayden's true numbers as well, since I was also going through it, and he was the opener that impressed me the most. So, his true average is 16 and a true strike rate of 25.
Yes.
Impact per innings of 5.9, which is like absolutely insane for the era that he was playing in.
Yeah, I think when we did the Sehwag video last year, he was the name that kept popping up as well on that. And he was very old when he played the IPL, so we don't even see the best of him.
Yeah, so I was actually reading this piece on the Indian Express, I think it was by Devendra Pandey, and he wrote about Pradeep Sangwan, right? And Pradeep Sangwan was talking about his experience of bowling to Matthew Hayden, because he would walk down the crease and like he had that aura, dude. And he would play with that mongoose bat. I think bowlers would be really scared of him.
Yes, before the mongoose bat got banned, of course. But even like when you look at the CSK openers, even now, like he's the sixth highest run getter. But he also has the highest strike rate in the top six batters, like even now. And I think that is insane for the time period that he batted in. And the fact that he was old, he was in the far end of his career, like Pratap would say.
I feel like the Aussie players crack T20 better than the Indian ones, the older ones, that is. Like, if you look at Gilchrist, you look at Simons as well. Simons drops off.
Yeah, like Hayden, for example, was not actually very attacking in ODI cricket, right? He's only slightly above par. Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
and even in Test cricket, he's extremely attacking in the IPL for some reason. I don't know. I don't know where the logic is. At least with Gilly, he's an outlier in all formats, isn't he? So I can understand it logically. Like, Hayden just completely catches me off guard.
Yeah.
Definitely agree.
And in the time period that he did open for the Chennai Super Kings, he was the second highest run get as an opener, but he was the only batter to have an average of more than 30 and a strike rate of 130. When I was going through his numbers, I was in awe of him. I feel like I would just pick him as an opener in every CSK all-time 11.
I think that's fair. And he has won trophies as well, right? Like, he was part of the 2010 IPL winning team. So you cannot even use the trophy argument against him, can you?
And he was the orange cap in 2009.
Yes. Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that. But that's a cool fact as well. All right, then.
Yeah, so plays a great knock in the 2009 semi-final too before Dhoni stinks it up that game. But yes.
2009 they lose, right? Oh, yeah. Actually, I think the season where CSK don't win the title is when he doesn't have a... When CSK win the title is when he doesn't have a great season.
Yeah. He didn't have a great 2008. Runs. He didn't have a great 2010. But yeah, 2009...
No, 2008 he doesn't play much only, bro. He's only played four innings. And he's,
correct. Yeah.
189 runs, 4 innings, 63 average, 144 strike rate. I'll take that. And he actually... His best IPL was the one that was in South Africa, right? Where he makes 572 runs, strike rate of 145. Like, that is honestly crazy. In just 12 innings, right? And then the one in India, the title that they win, he doesn't have a great, great tournament. He averages 22 strike rate of 124. So, I think that is there. He does get a 93 of 43 even in that season against Delhi. So, I think that kind of helps his numbers to get to where they are. But I think that is enough on Matthew Aydin. We can move on to one of the Indian star players for CSK. And I think I will go with the man who you associate with Chennai Super Kings the most. It is Mahendra Singh Dhoni, the man, the myth, the legend. You cannot look past him. I mean, there are people who have their, you know, they debate about whether MS Dhoni, how great MS Dhoni is as a batter in the IPL. But let's just say, even if you don't rate him as highly as a batter, you cannot look beyond the keeping and the captaincy and just the cricketing smarts that he brings to the table, right? I know Varun is probably going to disagree with me based on how he has gone into this rabbit hole of early 2010s India and how they didn't utilize Yusuf Pathan and all of that. But purely sticking to CSK and in the IPL,
I like him for CSK.
Exactly. He has made things work like anything. He's won with old guys. He's won with new guys. He's done everything that you expect from him. Like, how many captains in the world would you imagine are going to win an IPL title with Shardul Thakur and Deepak Chahar? Like, you have to give it to the guy at some point, right? And he just
forget that. He won
it.
A title with Tushar Deshpande as the kingdom leading
because in 2023. Exactly. So he has a knack of making things work over and over again. But now I think at this point, you know, the other issue that has probably come up is that they are too reliant on MS Dhoni in the sense that they sort of also need to start moving on and looking at the future and probably, you know, start making another person the face of the franchise, whether it's Ruturaj Gaikwad or Sanju Samson, or at least, you know, give Sanju Samson the gloves for some time in this season, I think, because you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, such an old, like Dhoni is quite old now, right? I honestly don't even know his age right now, but you don't want him to be keeping that much when Sanju Samson can do that and has done that pretty well for both India and Rajasthan Royals. So I feel like that is there, but for me, the best of Dhoni is still 2018 to 2019, dude. Like, that Dhoni, I think, instilled fear in me as an RCB fan. That was probably, like, I used to be so scared of him. And he won that game in 2018 out of nowhere. In 2019, he almost won the game out of nowhere, which actually Varun picked as the best innings ever in the IPL, according to him in the Crick Picks, because that's his favorite innings ever. Which I can see the logic behind that, you know. And there are early IPL seasons as well. There's that 2013 season,
I disagree with you a bit. I don't think it's the best version of him, but it's my favorite version of Dhoni.
Scariest
because he comes back, right?
That I have seen at least. Because I don't remember early Dhoni as much, right?
Yeah, I remember early Dhoni. Early, like 2013 I remember well, right? Yeah. That was terrific. That was very good. He was very good.
2013 Dhoni was also like a gun, absolutely. Yeah. And even 2012, right, when I sent you the ball by ball of that eliminator innings, right?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know how his season was, but the eliminator dude, he was just insane. I mean, 51 of 20, just like that was a helicopter shot esque innings in general. So, like, just crazy stuff from him. And winning so much, winning 5 titles, I mean, just, I think you cannot look past him. And I know we can make the case that the guy that Varun is now going to pick is a better batter for CSK, purely as a batter, especially in terms of peaks. I think you can definitely make that claim. But yeah, I'm happy with Dhoni as my pick.
I'll leave that batter to you because I kind of want to get the overseas done with.
Okay.
Sorry, you were saying Ashwin.
No, I was saying, I mean, Dhoni as the first pick makes sense if it's not according to the batting order. He was my number five batter, just putting it out there. But you're right when you say roughly. That CSK do need to find a new face when it comes to like the franchise itself. Because even last year, there was so many instances where he was walking around with heat pads or cold packs around his knee. For someone who doesn't play a lot of cricket, just to play in the IPL and to suffer so much, I mean, it just says that it's about time until, like, just give it up. Like, it's okay.
Like, I know retirement is a personal thing and all of that, but honestly, I felt 2023 couldn't have been more perfect, right?
Exactly.
Dude, that was the season to just call it a day when you've won five titles. But I see that there are two logics against that. I think the first one is obviously the fact that he wants to win at Chepauk, and I think plays last game at Chepauk. I think that is the line of reasoning. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the other one is I think they probably want to win more than Mumbai Indians by the time he's done. Like, those are the only two possible reasons that I can see. And obviously, CSK as a brand could just want to milk the star power of Dhoni, right? Nobody wants to miss out on that.
But now I feel like with Sanju Samson in the mix, I feel like they could just try.
They should start the transition this season, according to me. I was talking the same to Deepak and Shravan Bhai when we were doing the Hindi Life. We all were all of the same opinion, pretty much.
Right. Warren, who's your first pick?
Go for it, Warren.
So... I'll actually go for Albie Mokel and Dougie Bollinger as my first two picks.
Whoa!
Let's go.
I had Mokel too. Yes.
I had Mokel.
Yeah, I think all of us would have. Mix,
but I had Mokel,
His numbers are absolutely incredible, by the way. Yes. Bollinger's.
Yeah.
So, and I have to pick him for old CSK reasons. I think as someone that loves the 2010-2011 seasons, I think Dougie Bollinger was so incredible. I think MS uses him two at the top, two at the death. Mm-hmm. His death, though, his record is actually incredible if you look at it, right? His true economy at the death is like plus two or something, isn't it?
Exactly.
Like normal numbers, it's like seven, which is crazy for any era, I would say. I do think he's a bit forgotten in history, but I think he deserves it. Also, if you look at Albie, I think Albie is such a gun all-rounder for CSK.
Yes.
But what surprised me the most in my rabbit hole is he's a lot better versus spin than he's versus pace.
Exactly.
So my suggestion is, I think we move MS to six and move Albie to five so we can use the spin bashing more.
Same. I had the same lineup.
I mean, for me, Albie Mokel was at seven, but I would take that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doug Bollinger had a true economy of 2.07 and true wickets of 0.52 at the death. So that is just like crazy work from him. Pathirana is the other one. Pathirana also has more wickets actually. He also has
Do you remember Bollinger's first game?
Wait, which season?
Do you know what Dougie Bollinger's first game is? It's the 246 game.
Oh, okay. Okay, really?
I think it's like 2 for 16 or 2 for 19 or something in that game. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. Dude, wow.
Oh, and he gets Yusuf and Watson out in your first game, right? You were the two best Rajasthan batters.
Wow,
that is insane. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, dude.
I'm a big Dougie Bollinger
fan. And he also has won two titles, bro.
Yes.
possibly would have won three if not for KKR.
Damn.
Dude, the fun thing about this 11 is, like, regardless of who you pick, you cannot make the argument that they've not won a trophy in some ways. Like, because it's very, very unlikely that you're part of CSK and part of an all-time 12 conversation and you've not won anything. Like, I've not checked it for each and every player.
I'd argue CSK do not win 2012 because Dougie Bollinger does not play in the final.
Oof, okay. So he was the one that, you know, him not playing stopped a three-peat for CSK. Not Callis and Bisla getting the runs. That's a new cope for Warren.
Worst CSK moment ever. Worst CSK moment ever, that. Letting Jack Callis and Bisla chase 192 in your home ground has to be a war crime.
That's true.
No comments on further. All right, then. So that means we have three of our overseas done. And it's back to me to pick another player. And I will go with Suresh Raina then. It's very, very hard to look past who we call Mr. IPL, and especially till, 2014, 2015, he is an absolutely incredible batter in the IPL. Like, I think Prime Raina is... he's probably just behind that tier of AB de Villiers, Chris Gayle, and David Warner, right? At least for me, I really rate him very highly in the IPL. And I think we were talking about this before the live, right? I think he is the fourth best IPL batter ever for me. I would also say, just because of his peak and because of what all he did in the playoffs in his peak especially, he might just be in that first tier of IPL batters in particular. Though I think you can obviously dispute that claim, and I myself am not very, I don't think I'm very confident about it when you just look purely at the numbers. But sometimes some of the innings that Raina has played, dude, like obviously we remember that, we talked about the 87 in the Quick Picks, right? 87 of 25. It's just insane stuff. And he was one of those players who was just an incredible player of spin, right? I think we actually can look at his true values by pace and spin. That should help us, you know, put more perspective into the sort of player that he was. But any other memories for you, Varun, Ashwin? What do you guys think?
Yeah, we were just talking about the 2012 final, right? 73 yes. of 38, that game. Mm-hmm. So
crazy. Yeah, so his true numbers are actually interesting. So he is plus 13 against pace and plus 12 against spin. So I would assume some of that is because he regresses as a player after 2015, right? So maybe his spin numbers also get affected in that duration. But dude, that is still like, it's better against pace than spin is something I was not expecting to see. But even considering all of that, he was an elite player of spin. I think there is absolutely no doubt in that. And the other conversation around him is that India never utilized the best of him in T20 cricket. They could have just, you know, slotted him at three, have Kohli and Rohit opening the innings. I think that would have been far, far better in that time. You know,
why do you
and
do
if
this
we just,
to me,
you know, go, yeah, if we just start and talk about all of those things, like, I think then Varun will start getting irritated and, you know, you guys might actually see a 10,000 word feature from Varun one of those days.
I mean,
I could actually do a 10,000 word essay on the 2012 World Cup. Like, it was my word.
Oh.
Yeah. What would you guys say is Raina's best IPL season, though?
Oh.
That's a good question.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
I like 2013. I think that's from what I've seen, 2013 was very good.
We were talking about all of those seasons. It's like it's not clicking me right now because I know we dissected even impact.
So from what I've seen, it's 2013 for me because I didn't see 2008 to 2010.
Yeah, he's 40-150 in 2013. So I think that would make sense. Yeah, and
I mean, he also has a striker of close to 150, like in the playoffs or anything after the group stage. And he has one of the highest strike rates for a CSK.
That
batter.
Also drops off, bro. I think because the second half of his career, he doesn't make runs.
Yeah, it drops off, but like overall.
Even then, you can imagine.
I remember, till 2014, it's 750s in 14 playoff innings.
Yeah.
After that, he plays 10 where he doesn't make any. So it really drops off. And he's still the best playoff batter ever, even after that decline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Comfortably, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not even a question for me. All right, then, Ashwin, you have the next pick. Go ahead.
All right. So Suresh Raina was my number 3 batter, and I'm going again batting order wise. So if I said Matthew Aydin as one opener, the second opener for me is Ruturaj Gayakwad. And I had a bit of a tussle with him. In my head, it was too early to bring him on, but he's the highest run scorer as an opener for CSK, and he's just done so much as an opener, even if he hasn't played. I mean, to be fair, he's played 61 matches as an opener, so it's quite a bit of matches. And he has a true average of 13, a true strike rate of 11, and he's just done a lot as an opener. And I think 2021, he was the highest scorer in the IPL. 2024, he was the second highest scorer in the IPL. So I feel like, Ruturaj Gayakwad, for me, makes it in the all-time CSK playing 11.
Same.
Yeah, instrumental in both the wins, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it feels like we've just seen him play, right? Because when we started watching in 2020, we all remember, you know, I think Dhoni had the comment where he was like, the youngsters don't have any spark. Like, now I can't remember what the context was, so don't come at me, guys. But
no, the context was exactly that. I think Harsha Bhogle asks MS Dhoni, why don't you try out other youngsters? Why don't you do that? And MS Dhoni said, well, they're not ready yet and all of that. Which is quite a surprising statement coming from him. When you think about it, a lot of the changes that he made in the Indian team was a lot of young players walking in. Yeah. But interestingly enough, Ruturaj Gayakwad has scored close to 30% of the runs when chasing and when CSK has won matches, which is, insane when you think about it.
Yeah. You'd expect that from an anchor type player also, no? Like someone who can maneuver a chase. Also, I think he has that ability where he can bat well at three. Like, I don't even remember his numbers off the top of my head at three, but he just feels like a batter who is comfortable starting well against spin and through the middle overs. And he also has that ability. You guys, I mean, I know I'm going a bit off topic, and I am referring to the one-day partnership that him and Virat had in the Raipur ODI, right, batting first. That was, I think, brilliant stuff because both of them were playing the field so well and they had an idea of what they were doing and they were still able to score briskly. I think Ruturaj Gaikwad does give you that. Yes, maybe in the impact sub era, he's not the gun opener that you're looking forward to. But I would say he's closer to that Shubman Gill sort of territory of T20 openers in the IPL. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with him. Yes.
Yeah. I was going to talk about his technique, and I was going to say he's one of the most technically underrated batters, because people don't often talk about his cover driver, straight driver, pull shots and cut shots. But when you look at his technique, it's very textbook. There's not an obvious mistake, of course. When you play a lot of red ball matches, I'm sure something would come up. But when you look at his technique objectively, there's not an obvious flaw. And as an opener, that's just so great to have. Like, he has good hands. He moves his feet quite a bit. He's good against the spin, goes way back behind and steps out the crease. Even against fast bowlers, he's good against the short ball. He uses feet quite well against the new ball. I think he's a brilliant and very, very underrated batter in the Indian circuit.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say is that I don't think I've seen another Indian batter who's as good at accelerating after Virat Kohli as he is.
Yeah,
like, he can go nuts if he's set, right? Like, we've seen this a lot.
50 or 40 to,
like, he can
or
get 50 of the last 18 balls so often when he's in form.
Exactly. For sure, I agree with that. Also, with Ruturaj, I know you say that he doesn't seem to have an apparent technical flaw, but I think I just noticed one thing, that whenever he plays red ball cricket, I will admit I have not caught up a lot of his red ball cricket, but whatever I've seen, I do think he has a tendency to nick off outside off. But I think that is the case, that is the case for most test batters, most red ball batters. I mean,
also,
that is also
if
the
you
most obvious
see his IPL record, he's not good versus a good length in the power play.
That's the other obvious
weakness. Why I'm like, do you know when people are like, well, he should be the number three in the Indian test team? I'm like, easy there. They don't make the Sai Sudarshan mistake again.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a huge FC average, does he? Like, he's in the 40s, I think, from memory, and he's good, but he doesn't like stand out in a certain sense, does he?
No, it doesn't. And even the average of 40s has only come about in the last year or so. Even like before that, his first class average wasn't great. But sticking to CSK, of course, makes it to the all-time 11
CSK,
because
his
numbers are fantastic.
He's the batter you want if it's like a tough situation sort of for CSK, don't
true.
You? Although I do think
I was going to say, I also feel like if he was opening with Matthew Hayden, they'd make such a good combination with left-right-hander combination, and the way Hayden goes about his batting for the CSK and the way Ruturaj can just bat through the innings. Yeah, just the combination as an opening partnership. Love it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You got one more pick.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Now, I don't know how you guys would feel about this pick, all right? And I can defend it, but I'm also open to criticism is all I'll say. So my number four batter for the CSK was first MS Dhoni, and then I realized he's a better batter at number five. And so it's going to be Shivam Dubey, who's at number four.
Yeah.
Oh, right. All right. Great. Yeah. I didn't know. So I was thinking about Ambati Raidu, and then I looked at his numbers and then realized he doesn't have the best of numbers for CSK. But in my memory, like, he's done quite a bit. But yeah, I stick with Shivam Dubey.
It's the 2018 season, right, where Raidu is really good. Yeah. But that is as an opener, if I'm not wrong. Most of that at least is as an opener.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Also, Raidu, interestingly, he has good numbers at number 5 too for CSK. I was looking at this when I was trying to make the batting order right by position. So I noticed that. But I don't know, dude. Like, I also agree with you. I don't think I'd pick, I don't think it's fair to pick Raidu over Dubey. And Dubey at 4 fits in really well because, he's an absolute spin basher. Like, he murders spin, not just bashes it. And to the extent that teams are so scared of bowling spin to him that they'll get on junk pace and he will hit that too. I know towards like the mid of 2024 till like the last season, there has been a regression in his spin play in the IPL. But then again, we saw in T20Is, he seems to have got it back. So let's see how crucial he will be in this IPL. But I also had him at number four. And imagine him and Raina batting through the middle overs, dude. That would be something.
Dude, exactly that. And two
lefties though.
Sorry, Varun, go on.
Yeah, so I was just giving you the true numbers. So his true strike rate is +9 versus spin. And +13 versus pace.
Oh, nice. This also, brilliant. I think it comes down to the fact that he has this ability to teams are so scared of bowling spin to him that they will not, like, they'll not bowl their spinners to him. And then what will happen is that they'll get a pacer and the pacer will, not always be the best one, probably. And that Dubey can take down Jung Pace pretty well, I think.
Yeah. And at number four, Dino Albie's is plus 21. Oh, wow.
Albie Mokul's true strike rate versus spin is plus 21. Versus Pace, it's minus 7.
That is crazy.
So you can't build spin to all three of them in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, true, I think we'll take that. Yeah.
I was also saying that Shivam Dubey, like at number four, has a strike rate of 175. And if he were to bat, like Shayan said, with Suresh Raina, like they're just going to tear the bowling apart. Like, regardless of it being spin or pace.
Yeah.
Also, honorable mention to Subramanyam Badrinath.
Yeah,
the goat. The goat 10 for 2, man.
Yeah.
The goat 10 for 2, man.
Fail safe batter, right?
Yeah.
I think, what was it? Harsha calls him the umbrella man.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He's the second highest scorer at the number four position for CSK. I've thought about him. I gave it a big thought about Badrinath because I liked him as a batter. So he was so good to watch. Maybe not in the T20 format, but just generally. And I thought I would just sneak him in, but I couldn't.
Yeah, and Dubey is actually the ninth highest
part of CSK heritage.
Dude, the crazy thing is Dubey actually scores more runs per innings than Badrinath in the IPL. That is quite crazy. You wouldn't think of that, would you?
Yeah, he's been great for CSK.
No, he has. I'm just saying with Badrinath because he was not the fastest batter around, right? You would expect him to score more runs per innings. But maybe they just didn't use him in certain situations. And, you know, maybe they just sent him out later on when it was not required. And that affected, you know, maybe looking at it by entry point would give us a better clue. But I think that's fine. Badrinath is an honorable mention. I think we've got no issues with that. So I think it's my pick now, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Should I go with one of the spinners then? I think I will just make my job easy. I will go with Ashwin then. He is one of those, you know, Chennai boys who grew up playing for CSK. Like a lot of his early career is playing for CSK, right? And there's some, like, if you read his book, there's some really interesting anecdotes from those days. And the interesting part about CSK early on, like his first CSK stint, is how much Dhoni trusts him to bowl with the new ball, right? Also, even bowling at the death at times. So he's giving him the tough overs, and Ashwin is excelling pretty much. I would say that is his peak as a T20 bowler. And I mean, who else? Like, we cannot look beyond that dismissal of Chris Gayle in the 2011 final, right? So,
yes.
I think,
and
we can
Q1,
actually
isn't it?
Go through his. Sorry?
He gets him in both qualify one and the final, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, from memory. And his true economy is 1.02. So he's conceding one run and over less than expected over a full career of 103 innings. Dude, that is just ridiculous. And true wickets of 0.1, which is also pretty impressive for a defensive spinner like him. But now I think the other responsibility has to be that with a defensive spinner, we need to pair an attacking spinner. And I hope we can do that. But do we have enough slots left now? That is the other question.
No,
I think
we can't. We have to go for
the
other.
We possibly can't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we need the all-rounders and stuff. So, go on. Yeah. Warren, it's your turn.
I'll take Dwayne Bravo. I think you have to pick him for the CSK
team. You have
to
pick him. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So, that's why. I know you were thinking of Imran Tahir. I was thinking of him, so I don't know how to get him in.
Yeah. I know. I'll tell you how. So, what I did break it down later. It doesn't matter.
Okay, we'll talk about Bravo first. But I also have something to say about another spinner. Because I also had Murali in my squad.
Yeah, see, I had Tahir / Murali.
Yeah. Because, interestingly, Murali and Ashwin are the only two spinners for the CSK to at least take 20 wickets and to have an economy of less than 7. And so I'm like, they take wickets, they don't concede a lot of runs, and they have to be in the squad. One is, and both are, of course, both are off-spinners, but they're very different kind of off-spinners. So, it wouldn't be too bad.
Pratip would
both
be happy if you pick two off spinners.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, Bravo.
Oh yeah, but that reminds me, Shayan, you failed your brother in. You picked an offie.
Yeah, dude, I don't have a choice now. Since you picked Bollinger, I couldn't pick the leggy, right?
Yes. That's good. Yeah, exactly, according to my plan. I only picked one, right? I have two, isn't it? Yeah, I'll take Jadeja.
Yeah, had to pick both of those.
Yeah.
7 and 8, have them either order, I think. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. I think, I think Jaddu has been very critical for CSK all the titles they've won.
Yeah.
MS also uses him very well. He doesn't always bring him on because CSK have so many all-rounders. He does Jadeja. Like, I think 2018 was hilarious. Like, he almost doesn't bowl at all in the first half of the season.
Yep.
And then only bowls in the second half of the season. I think that was when they also had Watson, right? I think Watson was still bowling for them. And eventually, I think Dhoni was like, if Watson bowls, he will get injured, so I'm just not going to make him bowl again.
Yeah, Watson doesn't bowl much for CSK, actually.
Yeah. No, no, no. He bowls, I think, at the start, semi-regularly. And then MS is like, I'm just not going to bowl Watson at all. No.
Correct.
I also think that's also because his body takes a toll, and I don't think he could bowl himself. Sure. But Varun, like, where would you have Jadeja in the batting lineup? Because I was
I have him at 7.
Fair. Yeah, I had him at 8. Yeah.
Jadeja, bravo. Yeah, either whoever one you think can hit better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that can be.
Yeah, also, so I did you guys see Ashwin's batting? For CSK, he's horrible for CSK with the bat.
Yeah, for CSK, he didn't do a lot of things right. But you can have him at 9. He gives you some sort of insurance, I guess.
Yeah.
At least in theory, I know not for CSK in that sense. But yeah, so we have our first 9 ready then, don't we? And we actually even have Doug Bollinger. So we have 10 guys then. And so we need to pick an 11th and a 12th. All right, then. It's back to me then, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then. Just give me a second then. Because you have thrown my plans off by picking Doug Bollinger, right? So
yeah, now my entire squad is the same apart from Doug Bollinger, I think.
Yeah, same.
You have to pick Dougie for CSK 11, man. It's diabolical if you don't.
Yeah. Right, so we have Ashwin and we have Jadeja. And we are going to be playing in Chepauk. So, we need another spinner, I think. We can't go without a spinner, right? It's fine you've picked Doug Bollinger.
I found it very difficult to find a third good Indian spinner. So
that's exactly
what
I overseas again. So we have Hayden.
Yeah.
We have Bravo.
We have Hayden, Al B, Bravo and Dougie.
Of course.
Dude, that is why I wanted to pick an overseas spinner, no? Because the third best Indian spinner is not of that quality. But I still think if you're playing in Chepauk, you need spin, right? Like, how much pace will you bowl, dude?
Pace is pace, yeah.
Bro,
because the thing is, like, Bravo can bowl. Bravo bowls. You have Albie Mokel who bowls. You also have Shivam Dubey who can bowl. So you have pace bowling options.
I think, dude, I will just go with Shadab Jakati then. I don't think we have another option because...
Wow.
Yeah. No, dude, I'll tell you why. I'll give you the reason for it. We have Jadeja. And Jadeja is a defensive spinner, correct? Even Ashwin, like, I know he has a true wickets of 0.1, but that is not... the numbers of a strike bowling spinner, right? Jakati is at 0.27 for true wickets. Yes, he is negative on true economy. He is minus 0.59. But since Varun picked Doug Bollinger, and now obviously at this stage of this episode, we can talk about our combinations as well. So I had Deepak Chahar as the new ball option in my team.
Yeah, same. And, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Nehraji.
Oh, I had him as the 12th, I think, him or Mohit Sharma. So I was thinking about him. But the point is, I wanted Deepak Chahar because he's been one of those new ball bowlers for CSK. I mean, whether you like him or not, he has done a job there for CSK, right? And I think he actually has been pretty good. Wasn't it his 2019 season where he takes 22 wickets? I know he has a tendency to get injured, and so he's not always able to play all the matches. But and maybe he has been overvalued at times, but he's been a solid bowler for them. So I can't do that.
Yeah, he's been a good bowler. And at no phase of a T20 innings does he go at more than 10 runs per over. So I feel like that's solid enough.
Yeah, I guess we can take that. The other spin option is probably someone like a Harbhajan, who is also negative on true economy, minus 0.32, 0.23 on true wickets. So that would have been the other option. But that was like an old Harbhajan who was playing for CSK. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how confident I am about that. Rayana can give you some part-time spin. Obviously, we can't pick Mitch Santner either because of the overseas quota being fulfilled. Yeah. So, I think we have to go with Shadab Jakati. We need 3 spinners at Chepauk, bro. I don't care about it. We just need it. Because for pace, we have Albi, we have Bravo, and we have Doug Bollinger, right?
Yeah, true.
Right, and Doug Bollinger can give you 2 at the start, 2 at the end. Morkel, I think you can give...
Yeah, Albi can give you 2 at the start.
I think he goes for a few in the power play from the numbers I was looking at. He does bowl early on, but he goes for a few. So you can mix and match accordingly, but you still have Doug Bollinger, right? And then towards the end, obviously, you can use Bravo as well, so who is a renowned death bowler. I know Varun also thinks he's a bit overrated at times, but he will do a job for you at the death.
I think he's good, but he's overrated for sure.
No, I agree with that, So we've got Bravo and we've got... Doug Bollinger at the end, and through the middle overs you have your spinners operating. I think that is a good team for a captain like Dhoni, right? Like, that is exactly what you need. You've got your 3 spinners, you've got a specialist seamer, and you've got your 2 all-rounder seamers. I think that more or less 6 bowlers with Raina and Dubey, if at all you need that.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And then I leave the 12th to Ashwin, or if he has a better choice, you know, probably get Jakati out and get that 12th guy in. But I think now, I would stick with Jagati in the first
I mean, now that we have Bollinger in the playing 11, I had a different 12th man, but now I would have Murali as my 12th man. I just feel like he
can we go with 5 overseas though? That was my question.
I mean, so. 11 That's plus what I one? Was wondering.
It's 11 plus no, 1, but I still think we were sticking to 4, weren't we?
Oh.
Nah, I don't think you can go 5 overseas.
Fair.
Yeah. Let's keep it there.
Yeah, then I'll just go with Mohit Sharma because he was going to be my 11 plus 1 anyway.
Yeah, I had Mohit or Nehra, one of them.
Yeah, I thought of
essentially
Nehra
with Nehra ji, his one season is absolutely incredible. But he only plays 20 matches for them. I think Mohit Sharma plays more for them. And he also has those successful seasons. I think, wasn't he the Purple Cap winner in one of those seasons? Which season was it? 2014? But I am definitely sure he won the Purple Cap. Yeah, he won the Purple Cap at some point. I'm pretty confident about that.
Yeah, so he's played 48 matches for Chennai. That's quite a bit. Yeah. Picking up 50. So you have
Mohit Sharma then as your 12th. I think, that's fair.
I have Mohit Sharma.
Yeah. I think it's a good team then. I like the look of the team. I do think, in theory, if we just go with the 10th and 11th picks, since 9 picks are common for both of us, right? Or all 3 of us, right? Mm-hmm. If we go with Chahar and we go with an overseas spinner, let's say Imran Tahir, because you can get a wicket-taking spinner as well, along with the left-arm finger spinner and the off spinner. You can get a leg spinner, so you have more variety in your spin as well. And you have different types of spinners who can bowl at different parts of the game, I think.
Right.
And so we're now missing that, but that is fine. And we would have had Deepak Chahar bowling with the new ball. But looking at how good Doug Bollinger is, I think that is an upgrade, but then our spinners are downgrade. But I think we can compromise on that. I think it essentially comes down to that. But what do you think, Varun? Would you make that change now if you could? I would. I don't know.
No, I think if you have to drop a seam, I'd drop Bravo before I drop Bollinger.
But you need batting that, I think. That yeah, lower order batting, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mind either way.
Okay, so let's say...
I don't hate that 11. I don't hate that combo at all, but yeah.
Let's say you drop Bravo then, hypothetically. Well, what would you do? You'd get another spinner for him?
Yeah, you'd get Murali in, I'd assume. Murali,
but then your batting at 8 is not very... This thing, no? You have Ashwin then,
that's fine.
But Ashwin has not done well for CSK with the bat.
Well, then he's banking on three spinners.
I think theoretically.
Yeah, he's banking on three.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind. I don't have an issue with that. Historically, CSK aren't boom or bust, are they? Like, I think they might be the worst offenders of batting depth I've ever seen. It's them and 90 South Africa.
190 for 3 type of scores, right? Is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right? Yeah.
Power play always none for 40 in the power play.
I think we can talk about the honorable mentions as well, some of the other guys that you would have considered at some point. So
actually, wait, let me read the picks out, and then we can do the honorable mentions, I think.
Fair.
Okay. So our final playing 12 is Hayden and Gaikwad opening the batting.
Nice.
We have Suresh Raina at 3, Shivam Dubey at 4, Albie at 5, MS at 6, Jadeja at 7 or 8, and Bravo at 7 or 8. We have Ashwin, Shadab Jakati, and Dougie Bollinger to finish 11, and Mohit Sharma as the 12th man. So the individual picks are Ashwin went with Matthew Hayden, Rituraj Gaikwad, Shivam Dubey, and Mohit Sharma. Shayan went with MS Dhoni, Suresh Raina, Ravichandran Ashwin, Shadab Jakati. I went with Albie Moko, Dougie Bollinger, Dwayne Bravo, and Ravindra Jadeja.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Damn, Jakati waking up honorable knowing mentions. That he's made the all-time CSK playing 11. Damn, it's just he would be shocked, but good on him.
Dude, no, this disrespect, unbelievable.
No, this is not disrespect. I was just saying, he will be shocked, honest.
It is disrespect, bro. So you took 13 wickets in 9 matches in South Africa, bro. That is actually, I didn't expect that.
He is a good bowler. I'm not saying he shouldn't be. Like, I'm not saying anything about his act.
Bro, he has won 2 titles. Like, there is no argument now. Like, it's over. He has trophies. Indeed. Every guy, I think, in our team has
CSK,
trophies.
Yes.
Yeah, that is CSK for you.
Yeah.
Dude, is there a major CSK player who has not won a title? Like, with at least, say, 30 games or something? Is there a single player like that? That you can think of?
Not sure, actually.
Don't think so.
surely every CSK player has one at some point, like every major CSK player.
They must have.
Yeah. Sam Curran, I mean, played 28 games.
Dude, Sam Curran is not a main CSK player, is he?
We missed Faf. I think he's...
Faf has 121.
He's an honorable mention.
Yeah, he was...
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, he's an honorable mention.
Yeah, 100%.
Faf, Duplessis, yeah. Shane Watson.
Mike Hussey.
Mike Hussey.
Could have gone with any overseas, honestly, I think. In some I know with Hayden, you get that extra... extra explosiveness. Yeah. But honestly, I think all of those guys did a job for CSK at various points. And but yes, with Ruturaj as one of the openers, I think it makes sense, as Ashwin said, to have that attacking opener from the other end. But like... For example, if you look at Murali Vijay's true strike rate, for some reason it's really high. Like, even though his strike rate is not that great, yes, I think it's like plus 13. I think it makes sense, maybe because he played a lot at Chepauk. I would assume that is the reason behind it. Because even I remember, like, when I grew up watching them, Vijay would go nuts at times. I think, does he not make like 127 once? And he also has like a 90 odd one in one of the games. Like one of the games.
He makes 100 versus Delhi. I think, I feel like you've only seen where he's gone nuts. Ignore all the games where he's not.
Exactly. But bro, the true strike rate also supports him. So I think
we
can be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, old IPL was diabolical in the power play. You had so many guys striking at like 105, 110.
Yeah. All that is there. We talked about Badrinath. We talked about Raidu as well. Murali Vijay, we just mentioned. Shardul Thakur might be an honorable mention as well. I mean, dude, he has also won a trophy, hasn't he?
We can't pick Brendan McCullum because he ran right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be a crime.
That is like, that is unethical to pick Brendan McCullum after what he did in 2014.
You can't pick him.
This is the tweet that often circulates when you see CSK Twitter, right? Like, what they basically say is if you see a CSK fan who is praising the Dwayne Smith and Brendan McCullum opening pair, then you just know that they are casuals. And I don't know how Varun feels about that. I'm not going to add much.
I don't care about Dwayne Smith, to be honest.
To be fair, I quite enjoyed that opening partnership. I thought it was pretty cool.
I didn't care.
Back then, I wouldn't really care about numbers, but God. Like, watching them as a kid come out to bat, I thought that was too good.
So they actually have a good run rate. If you look at their run rate for 2014-15, they played 25 innings. They scored 922 runs and had a run rate of 8.2. Like, for that era, I think that is fine. You take that. It's not
Varun
bad at all.
Varun seems impressed. Look at that.
Yeah, if Varun is impressed, I think we can take that. Mid-2010s, eight runs, more than 8 runs per over. He'll take that.
So we have a super chat. So Blue Eagle 2021 asks, how are you feeling about CSK this season? Good spoiler team, not going to qualify.
Oh, that is a take. What about you, Ashwin?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they will qualify. We, on our channel, we made this entire video about the Chennai Super Kings. And yeah, we weren't too sure. They will win a lot of games. And I feel like they'll be fifth on the table or sixth. I don't see them qualifying.
Mid-table team.
Yeah.
I think because I've been busy with some other things and, you know, some pieces and all of that. The thing is, I have not sat down and looked at all the squads and decided the order in which I'm going to pick them. So even when we were doing this in our friends group, I was just like, I'll predict the orange cap and purple cap, the most runs and wickets. Because it's easy, I just went with Jaiswal and Bumrah. But I still don't have a top four, so I cannot conclusively say whether they would be in that or not. But just looking at their team and I have a rough idea of all the teams, right? It's not like I've been living under a rock. But I would still just say that their batting is good. I am not confident about their bowling because I did the preview for them, right? So I know what their team looks like. I even know the domestic players that they've picked. I like the look of the team that they've gone with. And obviously, they've invested a lot in some young players, some young talented players. But I just don't feel like it's a team that inspires me with a whole lot of confidence with the ball. Their batting is interesting. It could be very fun. But then again, it's not probably the best batting lineup in the tournament either. So I would say, I don't know. I'm not very confident about them at the moment.
I know this was a conversation that was happening in the group, but I really hope they use Sarfaraz Khan. Like, he says the top seven should be Ritu Samson, Ayush Mathre, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or Urvil Sarfaraz a shot. Urvil and Sarfaraz, I really hope they use Sarfaraz Khan. Because if you guys did watch, like, Smat and Vijay Hazare, he's changed his game quite a bit. The way he goes about his batting, the way he stands, he's changed his technique overall. And that was quite shocking to me because you don't generally do that, especially if you play the test format. Well, then he got dropped. That's a whole other story. But he's changed quite a bit the way he goes about his batting. he's changed that. And I feel like I just want to see him play again in the IPL and get a couple of games. Because for someone who struck so much, he was what? He had the highest strike rate for Mumbai in SMAT. He had the highest strike rate for someone who scored more than 300 runs in SMAT. Yeah. He had the highest strike rate to score more than 300 in Vijay Hazare. Like that's
Minimum 5 minutes, I think he had the best.
So, I mean, look at that, dude. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Like, his Vijay Hazare strike rate was 190 from 5 innings. 300 odd runs. And again, in the SMAT as well, he had like a 60-200 split. So
I think he was the only batter to have a strike rate of more than 150 to score at least 300, if I'm not wrong, in Vijay Hazare.
That is just insane stuff. So, the thing with this is, my opinion would be that, first of all, I would have had Mathre opening with Samson and Ruturaj Gaikwad at 3. But since they've decided to go with Gaikwad and Samson opening. Dude, I don't really see a point in Mathre at 3 in some ways.
Same.
Like, if you want him to play, well, should he not be opening? Because he is a very good player of pace bowling in particular. And specifically of the pull shot, I think it was Sparsh Tilang who tweeted it on his account that he's got like a insane control percentage and a strike rate of more than 400 from the pull shots that he played last season. The issue with him, I think, comes that he has some technical flaw against the fuller ball, and for some weird reason he hasn't scored a lot of runs in under 19 50 overs cricket compared to List A cricket. is the discrepancy, right, Varun? I don't know why that weird discrepancy is there, but with Mathre, he's obviously talented, right? But I think if you play him, he has to open. So if I have to pick a number 3, then the other option is Sarfaraz, or you can have a high intent guy like Urvil. But honestly, I think unless I'm missing someone else as a third pick, who did he mention in the comments? I feel like he mentioned 3 names.
Urvil, Short, Sarfaraz, and Ayush Mathre.
Short, dude, I don't know how to rate Short. Honestly speaking, like I've seen him play. I have not gone into his numbers in depth. I might do it sometime, but for some reason, I honestly have no idea how to rate him. Like, I know Mitch Owen is a proper six-hitter. Like, proper six-hitter. Okay, so Ashwin said, Samson and Mathre have similar flaws, hence Ruthu over Mathre. Okay, that could be interesting. You had some thoughts on that, Varun, didn't you?
No, it doesn't make sense to me because both Samson and Ruturaj don't like the good length. So, if Mathre bashes the good length, is that not opposing strengths? So, I'm lost.
Yeah, it could be something else that we are missing. We might have to listen to the actual segment to, you know, have better context of that. But I still think, that with the options that they have, they are better off going with Sarfaraz at 3. He's had good success in that position in the SMAT. I would say let's just back him. And he is what, 28? He's into his peak years, clearly had a wide ball breakthrough season, both ODI and T20 cricket, both List A and T20 cricket. So I think Sarfaraz goes in at 3. Dubey, Brevis, 4, 5, you can manage their entry points accordingly. 6 and 7, I think you need to go with both the young guys that you've invested a lot of money in. So Prashant Veer and Karthik Sharma, both of them have to go in. And I would say Dhoni at 8 because for some reason, I'm not very confident about Dhoni at 7. Like, what do you guys think about that? I honestly don't know how to feel about that.
If Dhoni's at 8, then he shouldn't be in the squad. If he's at 8, he shouldn't be in the squad, then might as well give it to someone else. Like, let someone else take the position. You have to invest in the youngsters and you have to play them somewhere in the playing 11 and you have to make sure they're batting in a good position. But yeah, if Dhoni's at 8, man, oh man, like it's...
I think what can be done is you have Dhoni at 7, then you have Karthik Sharma at 6, and you have Prashant Veer at 8. You can go ahead in that direction as well, I think. And then obviously
the same issue then? Either way, like, all that depends on how good Prashant Veer's bowling is. If he's a good fifth bowler, then Dhoni can bat at 8 without any issues. If he's not, then that really does cause. Then you probably have to drop one of the other Indian batsers to accommodate him.
That is also there, dude. I think Prashant Veer took 12 wickets in 9 matches in this mat, if I'm not wrong, or in domestic T20 cricket, whatever he has played so far. They can go in that direction. But again, as Deepak Bhai was also saying, right, on the Hindi live that we did, that stepping up from SMAT to the IPL, there is no guaranteed success to that. We were having the same discussion today as well in the group, right? You probably need to look at the trends and if a player is improving. So for Sarfaraz, it makes sense, right? He's had a breakthrough season in both white ball cricket, in both the white ball formats. He is around 28. This is like the prime of his batting in some ways. And you know what he can do against Min at his best. And if you see his, I was actually going through his wagon wheels when we were talking to Robbie as well. He's scoring a lot of boundaries behind square, which makes sense, I think, on both sides, both offside and onside. And then the other thing was that he was completely minimizing the dot balls and hitting lots of boundaries even with that. So I think that was a good sign that he's also, you know, worked on his fitness and is running between the wickets. You're not getting as many dot balls in the middle. So I just feel like that then in that case, that is roughly the composition I would go with. I would also have Overton, I think, in my team. Overton and Henry as the two overseas pacers for me. And right. you've got who would be the other? And Noor obviously is your spinner.
Noor.
Yeah. And Brevis is your fourth. Yeah. I think that is roughly my team.
I think that's a good looking CSK squad. I still don't think they'll qualify, but as a playing 11, same. I think that's a good squad.
Yeah. It should be fun to watch, dude, at least. It should be more fun to watch than last season, bro.
Yeah.
No, as I was saying last season, you can either be good and boring or be fun and terrible. You can't be boring and terrible.
Exactly.
Right. That is a criminal offense, right?
Which they changed to be here towards like the mid of the season, right? They started backing more of those guys. Do they still have Sheikh Rashid in their team? Because I think the game I went to watch, the game where Dhoni wins it for them, that was the game where I think Sheikh Rashid also got a few runs at the start. Did he not?
He might have.
I think by the way, team.
I know in the Mumbai game, he bats very slowly.
Right.
That's the Matre's debut where he goes nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. And Matre also almost wins the game against RCB, bro. 94-48.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're saying, Ashwin?
Yeah.
No, never mind. It was a conversation that went by. It's fine.
The other thing is, right, I think with both the openers, which I don't know how to feel about, is I don't think I rate Sanju's top gear as much as I think a lot of people do. Like I think he's more of a 150, 160 in the power play than he's 200. Because if you look at a lot of his 200 innings, he starts off at a good pace in the power play, but he doesn't go nuts. Right. He's very good at maintaining a good pace, but he's not like an Abhishek. Or even I put Madhuri's top gear is above Samson. So I'm like, if you have both Ruthraj and Sanju in the power play, I don't know if he will maximize it. That's my main issue with it. Do you know how we all know how Sanju is like starts the IPL season with a bang, right? I wonder if he played the Indian World Cup and thought that was the start of the IPL and all his good form is already done with. So he's just going to be declining from the start of the IPL. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But, you know, I think quite the opposite. I quite like Sanju Samson and Ruthraj Gaikwad as opening partner. Sure, like Sanju, as in terms of strike rate, isn't as big as Abhishek, but I think they just complement each other well in terms of the batting style. And I might be completely wrong here, but I feel like they will be one of the most successful opening partnerships this season in the IPL. And I know that's saying something, because that's a new opening pair for the Chennai Super Kings. But yeah, it's just a
good, very well, people.
Yeah, the other thing is, as good as Sanju is, he's not shown like what signs of big runs has he in the IPL.
Oh yeah.
He's very good at making 450, 500 runs.
Exactly.
But Ruthraj, we know, can accumulate a lot when he's on. I don't know if Sanju can. That's the other thing. So I'm still like a bit dodgy on that opening pair. I don't mind it. I like it. I know Sanju's fans will hate me for it, but still.
No, I think it's not even going against Sanju or Ruthu as such, right? It's just about pairing them together. It might not be optimal for getting those 65, 70 runs in the power play, which I think teams will get a lot, dude. And if you just look at the batting orders everywhere, I think.
Yeah, no, everyone's got shit bowling attacks and everyone's got good batting lineups. So.
We are going to have
and the kind of pitches they make during the IPL. Like,
exactly. Plus the impacts of, we are going to have a bloodbath, bro. I'm telling you, we are going to see 240s. And
But like, I still cannot statistically explain Hyderabad having the highest turn last season.
Yeah, you were saying that. Indeed.
That has broken me. I don't know how to make sense of it because no spinners bowled well there.
Exactly. Dude, I think maybe it's also because just turn is not a great indicator. Like, they had Zeeshan Ansari, the leg spinner. Maybe he was the one giving the ball a rip. Like, he was getting it to turn. I could be wrong. I'm just, like, guessing out of why. Like,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can also actually look at that. But, yeah, I think the point being that we would like to see more variance in the pitches. I think at least Varun and I, we are not against the idea of batters going nuts and, you know, scoring as much as they can, because we kind of want that in a T20. So when people say, oh, we want 160, 180 balance games, see, in the IPL, 10 years ago, we would have said 160, 180 is high scoring. Like, 180, you would have definitely said is high scoring. Even till 5-6 years ago, bro, I would say, like, okay, you've made 180, that is a big deal, okay? Let's see whether the team can chase it or not. But now, things are completely different, and I think Some of that is just the natural evolution of the game, that batters are going faster, and obviously the pitches and the extra batter because of the impact sub rule. I think even Shubman Gill now has come out and said that he's not a fan of the impact rule. Impact sub rule. Even Akshar Patel has said. I think Andy Flower was actually the one who said that he thinks that it adds an extra tactical element to the game. But I think it was Saurabh who went to the press conference and figured, like, he, I think I saw his tweet. So basically the point is that with so many batters, so many high-intent batters and everybody going nuts, you probably do want more variance in pitches, so you see a more, you know, variety of games. Not just bat, like the run rate necessarily dropping, but more variance in it. I think right. That's what Varun was also saying, and I agree with him completely.
No, I mean, I think that's fair. I think talking about the impact player rule itself, I like the impact player rule because of what it's done to Indian cricket. You see a lot of these batters just attacking. Yeah, I just don't. I get where Akshar Patel is coming from in the sense that where he says a lot of all-rounders miss out because you see how much Washington Sundar is missing out. Where in the last couple of years, if there was no impact player rule, teams would have bowled him, teams would have batted him, even though I don't really rate him as that.
Counterpoint, he's been terrible whenever he has bowled or batted.
No, I agree. I don't rate him as a T20 player at all. Like, let's get that straight. Same. But without the impact player rule, he could have possibly got more chance. And I'm not saying he would have done any better, but that's true. Like the fact that there's a bit of...
Like, he could have evolved more.
Yeah, some batters who can also bowl could have also bowled without the impact player rule. That's the only thing that I dislike about the rule. But apart from that, I think it's done great for batters.
I think with this, would you also not say that batters who can bowl, they reduce the quality of the overall game? Like, it's the thing where, I think Varun also agrees with me, where in the 90s, in the 2000s, you'd see a lot of these batters who would bowl spin and, you know, just like the middle overs phase where nothing is happening. It's not high quality cricket as such, right? You want your best.
The Sour Gangulis of the world as well, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the medium pace. Sachin, Sehwag, all these guys could bowl like 10 overs together, right? But it's not high quality bowling. Like, who wants to watch them bowl in... Like,
yeah, 100% agree with Amu, I think. So I believe if you're an all-rounder with impact player rules, you become more important because you give more flexibility to the team. This is the one thing I can't understand. I hear people saying the all-rounders die, but I'm like, you can't pick up a balance level if you don't have an all-rounder.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, that's, like, I'm that's confused, like, so.
Yeah, like, you need Hardik Pandya in the Mumbai Indians regardless of if he's a captain or not. You will still choose Akshar Patel. I liked Saurabh Ganguly bowling. I'll tell you that. That's where I come from. Like, I like the bits and pieces bowlers. I just enjoyed it. Because it was not high quality, and I completely agree with it. Yeah. But, yeah. It's just
no, I like it when I see Joe Root taking a fifer. That's when I enjoy part-time as bowling. I don't want to see Root bowl 30 overs on a flat pitch. Right? If you get me.
Yeah.
That's my wavelength.
Yeah, so... I think you want your part-timers to be useful in certain matchup situations, or, you know, you don't always want them to bowl, but if let's say on average, you're having 20% of your overs being bowled by part-timers, I don't think that makes for high-quality cricket in either format, right, or either of the two white ball formats. I agree with.
Yeah, fair.
All right then, guys, anything else? Any other interesting comments? Any more thoughts?
No, I think we've rinsed this enough. End our misery.
Yeah, I guess then, did anyone else pick their team? Because for Rajasthan Royals, we had a few people who were picking their teams. I think we can do that again, just before we close.
I don't think so.
Seems like RR had more dedicated fans than CSK.
No, I don't think we have any comments.
All right then. I think on that note, we can close the show. So, this show was brought to you by Shayan, Ashwin and Varun. And... We have now done the all-time 12s for all of the IPL teams, all of the 10 IPL teams. So if you want, you can go and check out the series. I think the credit for this entire idea it's the brainchild of Saurabh Somani, because he was really keen on us doing all of these shows. And I think he was there more for the early part of this. And even actually the 8th one where for the LSG all-time 12, I think he was the one there. It was the two of us who did it, right? And we've had various people do these shows at like different points, and what would you guys say is the most fun team? I think it's probably still Mumbai, right, with Rob not going for Rohit at all. Like, that is perhaps the most entertaining bit.
Yeah, Lendl Simmons and Dwayne Smith in the Mumbai all-time 12 that's an all-timer rogue pick, son.
Yeah, and then later on he's like, no, I would have picked Sanath Jayasurya. I think I should have picked Sanath Jayasurya. That would have made
He picks Andrew Simons in the Deccan Chargers / SRH team as well, I think.
Yeah. But that would make sense, no?
That sort of makes sense, but it kind of ruins it, like, because that means we couldn't pick Dale Steyn. So like, I'm still a bit unhappy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's where you got your Dougie Bollinger in the squad. So I feel like it balances out.
I was like, I needed some fast bowlers.
Yeah.
Overseas fast bowlers. All right, then. I think so we're done with all of the teams. We're done with today's episode. We've rinsed this enough. All right, guys. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.